Did you know that many products for pregnant women do not have their own clinical trials for safety or efficacy? That's because pregnant women are often excluded from clinical studies. Ritual is aiming to set a new standard with their essential prenatal multivitamin. It's the number one best-selling prenatal and the only leading prenatal backed by its own human clinical trial. Essential Prenatal is proven to deliver key nutrients, including folate, biotin, and vitamin D during pregnancy. Moms taking Essential Prenatal had a lower overall cortisol level during pregnancy than those taking a leading prenatal. Plus, it's designed to be gentle on the stomach. Ritual doesn't just have your back. They have the receipts. Get 25% off at ritual.com/clinical. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra-titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. For water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
You can't rely on blind faith to get the pregnancy support you deserve. Ritual's Essential Prenatal Multivitamin is the only leading prenatal backed by its own human clinical trial. Essential Prenatal is proven to deliver key nutrients, including folate, biotin, and vitamin D during pregnancy. Get 25% off when you visit ritual.com/clinical. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
The ride to Bronco Heights seemed to take forever. Mel stared blindly out the windshield most of the way. Neither of them said a word. When he pulled to a stop in front of BH-247, she didn't know what to say to him. She had this ache in her chest, and she had a really bad feeling it was only going to get worse. If she'd imagined she could leave this man and be untouched by what she had with him, however briefly, well, she'd been deluding herself. She had this sudden awareness that she made a whopper of a mistake in calling it off between them, and now it was too late. All it took was one quick glance at his steely expression and the hard set to his jaw to know there was nothing she could say right now to make this moment better.
Thanks, Gabe, for the ride, for everything.
Goodbye, Mel.
She yanked on the door latch and got out of there fast. If she so much as hesitated, she might just whirl and run after his big pickup as he drove away. It took forever to get to her door, to let herself in. She shut that door behind her, dropped her purse to the floor, and then let her knees give away until she was sitting there, her back against the door, her breathing ragged and frantic, her heart pounding so hard she almost feared it would explode inside her chest. Across the room, Homer sat on the foot of her bed. He watched her through those enormous gray-green eyes. Homer jumped down and came to her. She scooped him up and cradled him to her chest. Pressing her ear against his soft fur, she just sat there, holding the purring kitten. At some point, the waterworks started. Homer didn't seem to mind. He just let her hold him. She cried for her parents, for all the love she had within her. They were supposed to be there when she married the right guy. They were supposed to be grandparents to her children, to be among the ones she loved and cared for as the years went by. The loss of them remained. And what about cheating Todd? Yeah, she cried for him too. Well, for who he was supposed to be, the man she'd created in her heart. And Gabe? Him, more than anyone. She cried for what might have been, for the love that she couldn't quite bear to accept. Because her heart just wasn't ready. It was too much. What Gabe had asked of her. She'd been right to say no to him. She would get over this pain, even though at this moment, It felt like her heart was breaking for the third time. After a good hour of bawling, trying to convince herself she'd done the right thing to end with Gabe, Mel finally dragged herself to her feet and got down to the business of pulling it together enough to go to work. She arrived at DJ's Deluxe a full hour before she was expected. DJ Traub was already there, sitting behind his giant desk in his private office in the complex of offices on the floor above the restaurant. Mel pulled her shoulders back and tried to look cheerful and confident as she tapped on the doorframe to get his attention.
Hey, there's my favorite manager. Come in, come in.
In his 40s now, Dalton James Traub was a handsome man. From the day he hired her to wait tables at his Bozeman Rib Shack, Mel had admired not only DJ's genius as a successful restaurateur, but also as his big heart. He came around the desk to meet her and they shared a quick hug. When they pulled apart, she could see by his worried frown that all that concealer hadn't hidden as much as she had hoped.
Sit down. What happened?
Long story. Nothing to do with the job, DJ. I promise.
Well, I've been over the books. I know we're doing just fine here. Better than fine. And look, I've spoken with both Gwen and Damien. They have nothing but good things to say about you. You're doing a terrific job, as I knew you would. But, you know, I'm not asking about DJ's Deluxe. It's you I'm concerned for.
I'm fine.
Mm-hmm. I don't think so. How long have I known you?
DJ, I mean it. I'm okay.
Wait, just answer the question. How long?
Okay, 8 years or so.
All right. And I've only seen those haunted eyes I'm looking at right now one other time.
Yeah. You mean the day I got the news about my parents?
You don't break easy, Mel Driscoll. So when you do, I notice. I care about what's going on with you. So tell me what the problem is. I mean, you never know. Maybe I can help.
Oh, yeah, you're the best. But really, there's nothing you can do.
Try me.
Okay. Well, it's a relationship thing. Look, you don't need to listen to me whine about my love life or actually lack thereof.
Why don't you let me decide what I need, Mel? Huh? Talk.
I've just totally blown it with a very special guy. I'm sad. Really sad. I'm also disappointed in myself. I promised myself I wouldn't fall for him, but apparently my heart failed to get the memo, so now I've broken it off with him and I feel horrible. Anyway, it's over and I kind of hate myself if you want to know the whole truth.
Well, hating yourself will get you exactly nowhere.
Yeah, well, hating myself may not be constructive, but I seem to be doing it anyway.
As far as you know, look, that special guy being over, you might be surprised. It might all work out for you two in the end after all.
Oh, of course you would say that, DJ. I mean, you and Alaire have been married for, I don't know, as long as I can remember. You're in love and have been forever, and you naturally think everyone's going to end up happily married to the perfect person, too.
Yeah, well, Mel, you don't know the whole story, all right? I mean, Alaire and I, we had a very rocky start.
Well, it couldn't have been that bad. I mean, it's obvious you two were meant for each other.
Well, Lair didn't think so at first.
What do you mean?
I mean, I always loved Lair.
Mm-hmm.
But she chose my big brother.
What?
Yeah, her and Dax. They got married right out of high school.
You're kidding.
I'm not kidding. I'm as serious as an overcooked tenderloin. My heart was broken, and I knew I would never get over it.
But it did work out for you and Lair.
Yeah, look, her marriage to Dax didn't last, all right? They were divorced within a couple years, and more than a few years after that, I came back to my hometown of Thunder Canyon to open a rib shack there. And I tried to stay away from my brother's ex-wife. I tried, but it was impossible. I mean, so within a few months, she had my ring on her finger. And look, yeah, Alaire is the love of my life, and I can't imagine my world without her in the center of it. So do me a favor, just cheer up, Mel. You know, have a little faith that things will work out just right in the end for you and that special guy.
Well, I'm leaving in January, you know that, DJ, and my perfect job is in Austin.
Just a job, Mel. Maybe your guy will decide he wants to move to Austin, too.
No, I mean it. He and I are over. Done.
Yeah, we'll see. And there's another possibility we haven't discussed yet.
What are you talking about?
You know, I think you're the greatest, right? I mean, I like to work with the best and brightest, and that just means I'm not happy with the idea of losing you again when you head off to Austin at the end of the year. I've been plotting a way to keep you right here in Montana where we both know you belong.
No, I'm not staying in Montana. Hold
on. Let me finish, all right? I've always wanted to boot myself in my own ass for letting you go when you moved on over to Spurlock's. So I've been following your career, Mel. I know you're a brilliant finance and insurance manager. And I believe that you really ought to aim higher.
Higher how?
Would you consider becoming CFO for DJs Incorporated? You could work out of the offices here, yeah. I mean, look, you'd have to travel to the main offices once or twice a month, but it's not that far, and your home base would be Bronco if you want it that way.
Oh, CFO for DJs? Corporate...
That's right. Our current CFO is retiring. He could work with you starting next month until you both felt you were ready to take over the job from him. Think about it. If you're interested, we'll work up an offer and we'll just take it from there.
Oh, TJ, my head is spinning.
I can understand that. I understand. It's a lot to consider, especially on the heels of what just happened with your special guy. I get it. Look, my plan was to be here in Bronco till Friday, but I can stay till Saturday, and you can just take a break to think things over, and I'll cover for you.
No, that's not necessary.
Well, at least take tomorrow. And Mel, I sincerely hope that your plans for the future will include working out whatever's wrong with your guy and joining the DJ's team on a permanent basis.
Twice that evening, Gabe realized he couldn't stand not to make things up with Mel. Both times, he grabbed his keys and went out the front door, jumped in his pickup, and kicked up a cloud of dust, heading straight for town and DJ's Deluxe. The first time, he stopped himself at the Ambling A's front gate. The second time, he made it halfway to Bronco before he forced himself to pull over and turn the damn truck around. Mel was done with him, and he was through with her. He needed to accept that, get over her, and move on. The second time he made himself return to the ranch, he locked himself in the house and got out the whiskey. He would get good and drunk, drown his sorrows. But then, he only had one drink, a double, and put the bottle away. He took a shower and went to bed with the diary. He stayed up all night reading the damn thing, poring over each page, studying the brief letter hidden in the binding. The experience really fit his mood that night. Just what he needed, a sad story of thwarted young love and a lost child. Was the Josiah who wrote the diary really his own Gramps? There was no incontrovertible proof, and there might never be. But he felt strangely certain anyway. And the baby named Beatrix, wherever she was now, deserved to be found. It was after 4 when he finally dropped into an uneasy sleep.
The next day, her extra day off, Mel knew she would go nuts if she hung around her apartment. She was up at 7 and the day seemed to stretch out in front of her, empty and endless. She knew she would only end up knocking on her neighbor's door, interrupting Amanda's workday, crying on her shoulder, and then imposing her misery on Brittany, too. She needed action. She decided to visit Winona. The long drive to Rust Creek Falls would clear her head. Also, she ought to check on the various repairs at her parents' house. The new tenants were moving in on the 1st, and the place had to be ready. Homer could go with her. It would be good for him to travel a little, start becoming accustomed to being in the car. She decided she ought to give her friends a heads up. Brittany and Amanda would worry if she simply vanished for a couple of days, and strangely enough, the thought of how concerned they would be lightened her spirits a little. She might have blown it with Gabe, but she had made 2 true friends during her weeks in Bronco. Homer did create something of a challenge. She strapped his kitty carrier in the back seat, and he began wailing in misery the second she started up the car. Mel drove straight to the pet store and bought a cat cage big enough for several toys, a treat dispenser, and a soft-sided, collapsible portable cat box. By the time they reached Great Falls, Homer had stopped crying. She arrived at the house in Rust Creek Falls at 5:30. She raided the shed and back where she'd stored her roll-away bed, basic kitchen stuff, towels, and toilet paper. At 6:30, she strolled over to Crawford's general store to pick up the minimum in food items. Eggs, milk, bread, a few condiments, some cheese, and lunch meat. Back at the house, she ate a sandwich, petted her kitten, and inspected the premises. The new paint looked great. Everything was ready for the next family to move in. Now what? As she petted Homer, who was curled in her lap, she wondered what Gabe might be doing. Her longing to call him was so strong it hurt. Somehow, she kept herself from doing it. Finally, around 9, she went to bed. She woke before dawn thinking that it really was time to let go of this house. The happy memories she collected here would always be hers to keep. But now it was time to let some other family call it their own. After breakfast, she called Winona, who took 4 rings to answer and sounded a bit distracted at first.
Melly, is that you? What's going on, dear?
Oh, I'm here, Winona, in Rust Creek Falls. I drove up from Bronco yesterday. I was wondering if I could come over and visit you.
Right now?
Yeah.
Well, that would be wonderful. I'll get the kettle going.
Oh, sounds good.
Mel put Homer in his carrier and took him along. Winona was standing in her open doorway when Mel started up the front walk. She looked so thin, fragile as old glass. The network of wrinkles on her face etched deeper than ever. But her smile made the day brighter. She reached out her thin arms and Mel went into them.
Oh, Melly, it is so good to see you. Come in, come in. What is that you got there? A pet.
Yeah, someone very special.
Look at those eyes.
His name is Homer.
He is definitely a Homer. Mm-hmm. Perfect choice for a name.
She pressed a hand to her chest and she was panting.
Winona, are you...
No, I'm fine, dear. I'm fine. Just need to sit down. Oh, there. All better.
Well, let me call your doctor for you.
No, it's just a little breathlessness, dear. It's past now.
Okay, well, just rest. I'll deal with the tea.
In Winona's little kitchen, Mel spooned Darjeeling into a tea ball and steeped it in Winona's old blue willow teapot. Back in the living room... She found Winona asleep. Homer had jumped up on the sofa with her and was curled in a ball at her side. Mel bent over. She seemed to be breathing normally.
Don't fuss. I told you I'm fine.
Well, I don't feel right about you living here all alone.
But of course, dear, I'm not alone. I get an endless parade of visitors checking on me every day.
What visitors?
One of the Crawfords is always coming by, and usually a Dalton or 3. This little guy's namesake comes to see me, too. Homer Gilmore drops by 2 or 3 times a week.
Mm.
And he's just fine, Homer is, in case you were wondering. Still living off somewhere on his own. Nobody's ever sure quite where.
Well, glad to hear he's doing well. Rust Creek Falls wouldn't be the same without Homer Gilmore popping up when you least expect him.
What I'm saying, dear, is that I'm not alone. Someone is always showing up at my door. And what about that tea? I was thinking Darjeeling.
Oh, the Darjeeling is brewing.
I've been longing for Darjeeling. And you picked up on my mental signal. We've always had that special connection, don't you think?
Yeah. Yes, we have.
If only I weren't so tired all the time.
Oh, well, come on now. Lie back down.
When Nona put her head on the pillow and Mel spread the Afghan over her, Mel wandered back to the kitchen and brought in the tea tray. She poured herself a cup and watched over her slumbering friend. Mel sipped her tea, her thoughts straying where she shouldn't let them go, to Gabe and the diary. Mel needed to find out what had happened to Beatrix, at least before delivering upsetting information to an old woman in her questionable health. But she turned her back on the diary, left it, and Gabe, behind. Hadn't she? Guilt and shame twisted in her stomach. Gabe had been right. She dumped the diary on him and ran away because she was afraid. Afraid of his love, of risking her heart again. The tea had grown cold when Winona opened her eyes and sat up.
Oh my dear, how rude of me dropping off like that.
No, I'm glad you're resting.
You are the sweetest girl.
Well, the tea's gone cold, I'm afraid. I'll make some more.
Would you? I would love a cup.
Mel made more tea. It was after 11 when she put Homer back in his carrier and left Winona's little house. Mel walked back to her parents' house. When she turned the corner home, she saw the Jaguar parked at the curb in front of the house. A few seconds later, she spotted Todd, perfectly pulled together as usual, in western-cut dress slacks, a crisp white shirt, a buttoned soft suede jacket, and a pair of high-dollar boots. He was standing on the front porch waiting for her.
God, you are beautiful. I've missed you so much, Mel. What's that? You got a cat now?
Yes, I do, Todd. Why are you here?
He won't talk to me. I've called. I've texted. I'm at the end of my rope over you, Mel. I cannot live without you. Won't you please come back home where
Todd,
you belong?
Todd, wake up. I fell for your lies twice, but then you cheated in our bed, and I caught you in the act.
No, I never cheated. I mean, except that one time.
Stop, Todd. You did. You know you did. And so do I. And besides, one time was more than enough.
But you have to believe me. It was one time. The only time. Can you put that cat over there? You know I'm allergic.
Get off the porch floor and go home, Todd.
Mel, come on. It was a mistake. And I swear on my undying love for you that it was the only time.
Yeah, right. And what about that earring I found under the bed a year ago?
It was yours.
It didn't belong to me, and we both know it didn't. And what about that woman, Brandy, who kept sexting you? You swore it was the wrong number, but it wasn't. Was it, Todd?
Why won't you believe me? I was wrong to cheat. I get that. But I never lied to you. I love you, Mel. I've always loved you.
I want you to leave, Todd. I want you to go now. And if you don't, I'm calling the sheriff's office. In Rust Creek Falls, they don't take kindly to trespassers like you.
Get, you darn fool. That lady asked you to leave.
Homer?
Hello, Millie Driscoll.
Well, this is a surprise.
Who the hell is this?
That's Homer Gilmore. And he doesn't want you here any more than I do.
What did I say to you, city boy?
Well, I don't.
Skedaddle!
You're making a big mistake, Mel.
And good riddance. You better slow down or he's going to be spending the night in the county jail.
Thanks, Homer.
What have you got there?
Homer Gilmore. Meet Homer the cat.
Oh, you named your cat after me?
I did, yes.
Oh, well, what do you know about that? I believe I am honored, Millie. Oh, he has beautiful eyes.
Well, just like yours, Homer.
Now you're just embarrassing me.
It's almost lunchtime. Oh, come on inside. I'll make you a sandwich.
Oh, no, thank you very much, but no. I'm on my way to see Winona. She usually has something sweet for me.
Wow, I think it just might be red velvet bun cake.
Hot now you're talking. You take care now, Millie Driscoll.
You too, Homer. You too.
She'd been fighting it so hard, but seeing Todd again had done it made it impossible for her to keep denying the truth. Not only was she in love with Gabe Abernathy, she wasn't going to be happy without him at her side. Breaking it off with him had been a terrible mistake. An hour later, Mel had everything packed up, loaded in the car, and had Homer all comfy in his giant tube carrier. She hit the road for Bronco, and she made great time too, arriving at BH247 at a little after 6 that evening.
Hey, neighbor, I stopped for takeout tacos on the way home. There's plenty. Join us.
Ugh, best offer I've had all day.
Mel went next door where Amanda had whipped up a pitcher of margaritas to go with the tacos.
To you. To both of you. Ugh, I'm so glad you're my friends. And it's so good to be home.
So how was Rust Creek Falls?
Mel gave a quick report of her visit and a blow-by-blow of Todd's unexpected appearance.
Whoa, I think I'm a fan of this Homer Gilmore guy.
Me too. I can see why you named your cat after him. I have to ask, because you seemed down yesterday. What's going on? Are you all right?
Well, I am in love with Gabe. And I broke it off with him.
What? I don't get it. You just said you love him.
Yeah, why break it off? What did he do?
Nothing. He was wonderful. I just got scared when he tried to tell me he loves me.
Girl, you messed up.
Yeah, tell me about it.
You need to fix this. Go to him, tell him you were wrong, and you want another chance.
No, it's too late. I blew it. You know, falling in love wasn't in my plan, and I couldn't deal with it. He's been pretty much all in with me from the first, and I've been indecisive, well, to put it mildly, eager to be with him one minute and then pulling away the next. He's through with me, and I can't blame him. I need to somehow accept that it's too late. I've blown it with him.
Wrong attitude. You just said you love the man, and that means it's never too late.
You have to keep trying. You have to go to him and admit that you were scared, that you overreacted badly, mm-hmm. and you want a chance to make it right.
Yes, tell him how you really feel.
Friday morning, Gabe got a call from Roger Dutton, a partner in his latest real estate project.
We need to firm this deal up. How about tonight?
Sure. Let's get everyone together for dinner at the association.
I like DJ's Deluxe. Steaks you can cut with a fork, great service, good drinks, and a relaxed atmosphere. Gabe, did I lose you?
No, I'm right here.
So what do you say, DJ's?
All right, DJ's it is.
Someone else in Gabe's party had made the reservation, so Mel had no warning that he would be at DJ's that night. When she spotted him, he was already at his table with three other men and a good-looking middle-aged woman in a red dress. At that point, Mel was making the rounds, checking on the customers, sharing a few words at each table, and then moving on. When she stopped at Gabe's table, he didn't even look at her. Dear Lord, he was so beautiful. He wore a black jacket and a silver-gray shirt, his sculpted jaw freshly shaven. She managed to keep her smile in place as she asked how everything was going.
Perfect, as always. This filet is pure heaven.
Wonderful. Enjoy your evening. And please let me know if there's anything you need.
As soon as she neared the hallway that led to the kitchen, she darted through it and kept going to the employee restroom in the back. It was empty, thank heaven. She slipped in and shut the door and ended up standing at the sink, staring into her own haunted eyes in the mirror.
Okay, I need to talk to him. I need to be brave enough to tell him that I was wrong. And won't he please give me one more chance? Okay, you're going to do it. Tonight if possible. And if no opportunity presents itself tonight, well then tomorrow you will pick up the damn phone. You will say that you were wrong and you're so very sorry. And would he possibly maybe consider... I'll be right out!
When she opened the door, one of the sous chefs gave her a nod and a smile. For the next hour, she kept an eye on Gabe's table. When he excused himself, she shamelessly detoured to follow him at a discreet enough distance. She stood out of the way as he disappeared into the men's room. When he emerged a few minutes later, she stepped up to him just before he could escape to the dining room.
Gabe, can I have a minute of your time, please?
Why? What do you want, Melanie?
Will you do one thing for me?
What?
Meet me on the Ambling A, the spot by the creek where you found me that first day.
Why?
Please, Gabe, this is neither the time nor the place, but I do want to talk to you privately. Tomorrow, noon at the creek. I'll be there. I hope you will too.
Is that all?
Yeah.
Between that moment in the hallway and noon the next day, Mel second-guessed herself at least 100 times. She hardly slept at all, but she was going. If he didn't appear, well, at least she'd shown up as she'd said she would. She drove out to the ranch, certain she was heading for an exercise in futility and crushing disappointment. It shocked the hell out of her to see his pickup sitting there by the road when she drove up. She pulled in behind the truck, turned off the engine, rested her forehead on the steering wheel, forcing her breathing to slow to a less frantic rhythm. Well, okay. He was here. At least she would get a chance to say what she had to say. Her legs were shaking as she climbed the hill. She met his shadowed eyes, her pulse racing again, her breath sawing wildly in and out. He was everything. All the best things, a cherished dream she hadn't let herself believe in. Gabe, the lonesome cowboy. Just like that first day. Somehow, she managed to descend the low hill with measured steps. She stopped a few feet from him. He took off his hat, because even though he didn't look happy, his mama had raised him right.
Okay, I'm here. What's this all about?
As you know, I came to Bronco as an interim stop in my life.
I'm aware.
And it, just never... occurred to me that I might fall deeply in love. Well, after the disaster of epic proportions that was Todd, I was so anti-love. I mean, he was a disaster, a cheater. I had chosen a cheater, and I realized I couldn't trust my own judgment. I decided the best course was to not give any guy a chance. I never imagined I would end up with the possibility of real happiness staring me right in the face. And, Cape, I can't believe I was such a thoughtless fool. I really can't. I can't believe I called making love with you rebound sex. I can't believe I freaked and ran when you tried to tell me how you felt about me. I'm an idiot. I know it, but I can learn. I really can, and I have learned. I've, learned that it's you. It's you, Gabe. You're everything to me. I love you. I do. I was so stupid and wounded and blind. I only hope it's not too late.
Mel, you talk so much.
It was all he seemed to be able to say, and it was more than enough. Especially when he gathered her close and lowered his beautiful mouth to hers in a long, searching, perfect kiss. She melted into him.
Does this mean you're going to let me say it now?
Oh, please, yes. Say it now.
I love you, Mel. You're my one, my only, my whole life. I've been waiting for you.
I'm so glad. I was so afraid I'd lost you. I love you. I really do.
He captured her lips again and kissed her slow and deep.
Let's go.
He bent and scooped up his hat. Rising again, he wrapped an arm across her shoulders. They headed up the hill, kissing as they went. When they reached the vehicles, they stood at his driver's door for half an hour or so, holding each other. Kissing each other, whispering promises they both knew now they were bound to keep.
You work tonight?
I'm on at 5, yes.
Follow me to the house now?
Yes. Yes, 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 yes.
At Gabe's, they went on to the master bedroom where they stayed for an hour and a half, celebrating their love in the most elemental way. Later, they took Butch for a walk. George must have spotted them from the main house. He came running out to say hi to Mel. He said he'd read the diary and declared himself 100% certain that Gramps had written it. He was all fired up to make plans to find out what had happened to Beatrix.
We're on it.
Good then. I was gonna let your grandfather read the diary, if that's all right.
Yeah, that's fine. And then we'll talk about the next step.
That'll work. Hey, good to see you, Mel. Drop by the main house for dinner soon, won't you?
I will. Definitely.
Back at Gabe's house? Mel shared what had happened during her visit to Rust Creek Falls.
As for Todd, I would love to rearrange his face for him, but he's paying for being a cheating fool. His loss is the best thing that's ever happened to me.
Oh, I do love you.
That night, Gabe showed up at closing time. He followed her to her place and slept over. In the morning, they spoke of the future. Mel would be going to work for DJ's as CFO. For now, she would keep her apartment. But they both agreed she would be moving in with him at the Ambling A sometime in the next few months. Stark naked, he got down on one knee and officially asked her to marry him. She couldn't say yes fast enough. Laughing with happiness, she threw herself into his arms.
Gabe said his grandfather had read the diary. Alexander was as eager as George to get going on the search for Beatrix.
Oh, Amanda is amazing. She can find just about anyone or anything online. I was thinking we might hire her, give her the diary and what information we have, and see what she can discover about what happened to Beatrix.
That's a shot. Let's talk to her. See if she's up for playing online detective. And I was also thinking we should have a look up in the attic of the main house. There are years worth of documents and keepsakes stored up there in trunks and dusty boxes. Might be something about Beatrix somewhere and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Monday morning, they knocked on Amanda's door. She was all smiles just to see them together. She offered coffee and they told her the story of Josiah and Winona and their lost child. Amanda had tears in her eyes. Later that day, back in Mel's apartment, as they sat at her little table eating ham and cheese sandwiches, Mel asked if Gabe would take her to Snowy Mountain Senior Care.
We need to tell Josiah that we're together now and that we'll be married. I just feel that he should know.
I think he would like that. I didn't tell you before, but that day he said to bring you to him, He also said that I shouldn't give up on love.
Well, your great-grandfather is a very wise man. Thank you for giving me a second chance.
I love you, Mel. You're mine, and I'm yours. I'm so glad you came back to me.
In his small living room at Snowy Mountain Senior Care, Josiah sat in his recliner. He stared blankly into space as Gabe explained that he had found the only woman for him.
I told you, when it comes to Mel, I didn't have to ask, and I don't, Gramps. I knew from the first.
Oh, I wasn't so quick on the uptake, Josiah. I've had my heart broken, and that made me wary and reluctant to give my trust. I was a fool. I almost ruined everything, but I finally saw the light, and Gabe gave me another chance, and, well, here we are, together.
And we'll be getting married. Tonight, we'll tell the rest of the family.
When they were ready to go, they each gave Josiah one last hug. They both reached the door when the old man spoke from behind them in his gruff, rusty voice.
Glad to see you two together, where you belong. Now find my little girl.
We promise you, Gramps. One way or another, we will find you a little girl.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle. With ultra-titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. For water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
You can't rely on blind faith to get the pregnancy support you deserve. Ritual's Essential Prenatal Multivitamin is the only leading prenatal backed by its own human clinical trial. Essential Prenatal is proven to deliver key nutrients, including folate, biotin, and vitamin D during pregnancy. Get 25% off when you visit ritual.com/clinical. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.